See, Billy got picked on at school for things he couldn't change. He tried his best to play it cool, but in the seventh grade, you either fit right in or you don't fit. That's just the cold hard truth. I wish that I'd have been the friend that Billy never knew. I think it's time to come together, you and I can make a change. Maybe we can make a difference, make the world a better place. Look around and love somebody, we've been hateful long enough. Let the good Lord reunite us till this country that we love's undivided.
Yup. You either go to church or you're gonna go to hell. Get a job and work or you're gonna go to jail. I just kinda wish we didn't think like that. Why's it gotta be all white or all black? And when we gonna learn to try on someone's shoes sometimes?
That's right.
When we gonna start to see from someone else's eyes?
I think it's time to come together, you and I can make a change. Maybe we can make a difference, make the world a better place. Look around and love somebody, we've been hateful long enough. Let the good Lord reunite us till this country that we love's undivided. Oh yeah, undivided. Make the world a better place. Look around and love somebody, we've been hateful long enough. Let the good Lord reunite us till this country that we love's undivided.
Come on.
Welcome back.
Oh, yeah.
Top of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast this Wednesday, March 10th, 2021. Speaking of Disney, you know, there's the Gina Carano controversy and all of that stuff. Speaking of Disney and Undivided, you know, there's just this perpetual conflict that we're supposed to be embroiled in. That's how you keep people distracted. And again, you know, sort of psyop to prevent people from coming together and doing something purposeful and good together. You know, if the Disney thing is a problem, for example, the Gina Carano controversy, oh my goodness, how could you fire this person for expressing her views? Well, first of all, the company has the right to say, for example, you are not allowed to say anything publicly other than the company message. And that's an interesting discussion if we start to go down the administrative state rabbit hole. You know, United States Incorporated kind of thing. Are we all corporate employees on the United States plantation? That's a different discussion for a different day. But, you know, the company has a right to say, hey, Gina Carano, you can't say that. And if it's a problem for the American people, then what's to prevent 300 million people from saying, you know what, this is wrong? Or however many millions of parents from saying, we disagree with this, and therefore we're not going to support what Disney is doing. We're not going to subscribe to these online streaming services. We're not going to buy these DVDs or, you know, whatever other stuff. We're not going to watch the Disney Channel or all of this programming that they're putting out. What's to stop parents and, you know, folks from doing that? It's simple. But I think there are deeper issues there, you know, like that time when the CIA helped Walt Disney create Disney World, for example. Those kinds of things are, I think they belie deeper motives. So, you know, maybe it's worth looking at a little closer, and maybe it's worth sharing some information across, you know, over the fence between one another. And there has to be a way that we can converse about these kinds of things without losing our minds. And I think we've been groomed and sort of socially engineered to really I guess the best way I can put it is it's this addiction culture, you know, it's this junkie society that we live in at every level, you know. People binge watching broadcasts, or the economic system, you know, is a junkie system. It relies on perpetual growth, and there has to be a crash so that, you know, out of the crash, the, you know, out of the ashes of the crash, the phoenix will rise again, and these kinds of things. You know, and of course there's the drug culture, and we find from time to time that the folks that we are encouraged to trust the most are involved in that somehow, you know, and the intelligence community, for example, and that dates back hundreds of years to the institutionalization of the drug trade, I would say officially with the East India Company. You don't hear about that much in school. It was spices, you know, the Silk Road became a spice trade route, and right, and drugs too, right? Because, you know, and for that matter, again, as I've mentioned, you know, before the invasion of Afghanistan, why did we invade Afghanistan? Because there were, you know, there were terrorists, right, at the training camps that the CIA set up in partnership with Pakistani ISI, British MI6. We're not supposed to talk about that. So, why do we really invade Afghanistan? And you go back and you read about that, and you discover that the Taliban was actually curbing opium production. Basically, you know, and the message from Taliban leadership was this drug stuff that is going on, this drug trade, is un-Islamic. The Taliban was saying that. This is against our religion. What? And then what happened? You know, the Taliban was curbing opium production in Afghanistan significantly. They were headed towards zero. And then all of a sudden there was an invasion. Immediately, the opium production skyrocketed by 3,000 or 4,000%. That's interesting. Why did that happen? Speaking of junkie societies, and isn't it interesting how we've heard, you know, even in our own modern history, that wherever the troops are, it seems there's this racketeering that follows our troops, you know, whether it's gambling or drugs or whatever. It's a way to steal from GIs and create junkies. So, you know, we have this junkie society, and it seems that this conflict is something that feeds that addiction. And we just can't seem to break that habit, that addiction. We don't need to be junkies. We don't need to be perpetually embroiled in conflict. And I think, you know, there's something, it's I would say, you know, to categorize it generally, I would say it's part of this spiritual battle. You know, it's a spirit of conflict or whatever that permeates America. And I think people actually want it and feed on it and don't realize how awful and sinister and really heartbreaking and sad it is, you know, that brothers can't get along, for example, fighting against one another. And I've mentioned Matthew 10 in particular, Jesus speaking about this kind of thing. I think the last time I mentioned it was when John in Tennessee and I were talking about this. But, you know, Jesus said, therefore, everyone, you got to read the what comes before the therefore. Therefore, everyone who confesses me before men, I will also confess him before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny him before my Father who is in heaven. And this is, I think the last time I mentioned that was when Glenn and I were talking, but this, what comes after, you know, do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I came to set a man against his father and a daughter against her mother and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's enemies would be the members of his own household. Of his household, excuse me. So, but then, you know, point of clarification, he says, he who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who has found his life will lose it. And he who has lost his life for my sake will find it. And so I think it's interesting. You know, this is a different sort of, this I wouldn't say is conflict so much as just a clear demarcation, a clear delineation of, you know, who's who. And maybe you've had experiences where if you are a person who considers yourself to be a Christian or aspires to be a Christian, is kind of the way that I would put that, you may have had experiences where maybe you pray about something, you feel like the Holy Spirit's, you know, leading and guiding in this direction, maybe you get a clear message about something, and then people close to you, the people you love the most, care about the most, trust the most, say something contrary, and suddenly you're thinking, well, you know, maybe, I mean, that makes sense. I could. And if you are paying attention, then you come back and you go, wait a minute, I got this clear guidance. It's interesting. And this sort of correlates to a thing, in addition to the seismic shift in this broadcast over the, or in correlation to that, I guess, over the last few weeks, this idea of doing what you say you're going to do. You know, if you're a Christian or someone who aspires to that, someone who believes the Bible, who consults with the Holy Spirit for, you know, direction in life, it's an interesting thing when this sort of conflict arises between a message that you feel like you receive from the Holy Spirit and those whom you trust. In Matthew 10 sort of fashion, you know, you get these conflicting messages. What do you do? And so part of what I have gone through over the last several weeks is, you know, just the simple reminder. I mean, I've mentioned Stephen Covey a lot lately because it's just fascinating what has happened over the last 30 years or so when his stuff, you know, the 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, for example, just seemed like mostly, yes, that's profound wisdom, but it's all common sense. I mean, we were all raised this way. We all know this. A good reminder once in a while is fine, and we should be okay, right? We've gone from that to now all of a sudden he's a sage, you know, on the order of Plato and Socrates, because things have changed so dramatically, and not in a good way over the last 30 years. In particular, last generation, generation and a half, 2 generations. So, you know, Covey was one of his reminders was, when you're working on yourself, basically, one of the best things that you can do is just do what you say you're going to do. I talked about Numbers chapter 30. When was that? Was that yesterday, I think? The law of vows and oaths, which is interesting. I didn't get any hate mail, not yet. I was kind of surprised. Not really, I'm just being facetious. But, you know, Numbers chapter 30, the law of vows and oaths, verse 1, that Moses spoke to the heads of the tribes of the sons of Israel, saying, "This is the word which the Lord has commanded. Listen up, people," God says. Verse 2, "If a man makes a vow to the Lord or takes an oath to bind himself with a binding obligation, he shall not violate his word. He shall do according to all that proceeds out of his mouth." And then, of course, the next 14 verses are interesting. Right? Dads, husbands, ladies, interesting. But, you know, this idea of doing what you say you're going to do, does it include even these private conversations with the Holy Spirit, for example? Nobody else knows but you and God. And then, you know, you have this, I don't know, guidance or direction. Yes, I should do this thing. And then you talk to friends or family, loved ones, people you trust, care about. There may be a political aspect to this where, who knows, if you do this thing, there may be a political disadvantage, or seemingly, in the eyes of these people around you. You know, you have fellowship with the Holy Spirit, and you're thinking, in your private time, as you come away from that, yes, this makes sense. I should do this thing. And I feel free to do this thing in this quiet moment. And then you come out into, you know, the public square, so to speak, and you start to talk with family and friends, loved ones, and somebody says, not knowing, because you didn't say anything, you just had a private conversation with the Holy Spirit, basically. And this person says something about, you know, that thing, or along those lines somewhere, and says something contrary to what you just felt comfortable about doing. And so now there's politics, perhaps, you know, maybe there's political disadvantage in view, it seems, and stuff. And so we get caught up in these things. I'm speaking from personal experience. It's interesting how that works. And then you go, no, wait a minute. Even if it's just me and God, I said I would do this. I'm going to do this. This is what needs to happen. And interestingly enough, I had a couple of conversations about this yesterday that were completely unrelated. And it was really interesting. You know, just kind of out of the blue. It was really interesting. And the bottom line, I think, is, in conjunction with all of this other stuff over the past few weeks, if we would just do that, if we would just do what we say we're going to do, that would improve. You know, I keep talking about the founders emphasizing virtue, morality, and religion as the pillars of society, as Washington and Patrick Henry and guys like that put it. These are our foundational footings, so to speak. And beyond that, this idea of just doing what we say we're going to do and sticking to it, I think, it's such a simple thing. And again, you know, guys like Stephen Covey remind us, but do we do that in all cases? Are we unequivocal? Are we unambiguous and clear? And I think what may be perceived as political disadvantage turns into a clarity and an assurance. People can count on the people doing that, what they say they're going to do. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 today.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
It's the good life, full of fun, seems to be the ideal. Yes, the good life lets you hide all the sadness you feel. You won't really fall in love, 'cause you can't take the chance. So be honest with yourself, don't try to fake romance. It's the good life to be free and explore the unknown. Like the heartaches when you learn, you must face them alone. Please remember, I still want you. And in case you wonder why, well, just wake up, kiss that good life goodbye.
Back. Started talking about Tiger Woods yesterday. I want to get back to that. But first, and this is a weird combination of things. Years ago, I went through a period where I felt like I was reading books and basically putting marginal notes, you know, like I went through The Secret and some different books, and I was just writing in them, you know, here's what the Bible says about this, actually. And I just felt like there was a point where the Holy Spirit said, do you want to, you know, basically this is kind of a waste of time. And maybe I should spend more time in fellowship, you know, reading the Bible. So I went through a period where I just read the Bible and Oswald Chambers, My Utmost for His Highest. And, you know, the idea was to stop reading about, there are lots of books, and I'm not trying to disparage these efforts. I think a lot of people do things with very noble intentions, but it's just interesting. If you wrote, I mean, think about it as a parent, if you wrote a love letter to your child and your child had friends that really wanted to help your child get reacquainted with you, their parent, at some point, wouldn't it be frustrating if your child was just reading these, you know, notes and listening to friends and reading notes from friends about, hey, you know, your parent loves you, and do these people know your parent better than your parent knows, you know, better? Do these people know, do the friends of your child know you as a parent better than you know yourself, basically? Probably not. Do they know your intentions? Do they know, you know, your intentions for your own child and those kinds of things? So it was a convicting thing, you know, feeling like, well, you know, maybe I should get back to that. And so the only additional thing that I had other than the Bible was Oswald Chambers, My Utmost for His Highest. And so yesterday's entry struck me. That was interesting. Being an example of his message, I don't know, in correlation to what John and I were talking about. And sometimes it's really heady stuff. Sometimes you got to really kind of go, and maybe it's better just to read the biblical citations and pray on that or whatever. But this one is interesting, I think. So for what it's worth, here's that. Being an example of his message, preach the word, 2 Timothy 4:2. This is, again, as Oswald Chambers, My Utmost for His Highest. We are not saved only to be instruments for God, but to be his sons and daughters. He does, and I thought this was particularly interesting. I read it after the fact, but I mentioned Hebrews 12 again and the concept of the illegitimate son, which I think is a real thing. Continuing, it says, he does not turn us into spiritual agents, but into spiritual messengers. And the message must be a part of us. That's an interesting thing. Most people don't get, they, you know, the joke is, you know, most people don't get it from their head to their heart. That's the most difficult distance, you know, to travel from the head to the heart. The Son of God was his own message, Chambers writes. And then he quotes John 6:63, the word that I speak to you, the words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. As his disciples, our lives must be a holy example of the reality of our message. Even the natural heart of the unsaved will serve if called upon to do so. But it takes a heart broken by conviction of sin, baptized by the Holy Spirit, and crushed into submission to God's purpose to make a person's life a holy example of God's message. And that is a provocative distinction. I don't think, you know, kind of like the Israelites with the golden calf talking to Moses, you know, juxtaposed to Moses' example. I think most people really want to sort of turn a blind eye to that dichotomy. So, maybe I'll just speak for myself. Stick around. We'll be right back after the short break.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
For over 20 years now, Extendabite has proven time and again, it really works. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. I received an arterial switch at birth. In my mid-20s, I started getting slight runs of NSVT. Nothing too serious, but enough to cause worry. I started taking Extendabite a little over 2 years ago, and it helped cut the palpitations and NSVT down drastically. This isn't a cure-all supplement. I strongly recommend a good diet and exercise to aid in any heart troubles you may be having, and I strongly recommend giving Extendabite a try. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off Drop-and-Lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off Drop-and-Lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. Easeoff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
Ease-Off, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen plan to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
When you were here before, you couldn't look you in the eye. You're just like an angel. Your skin makes me cry. You flow like a feather in a beautiful world. I wish I was special. You're so very special. But I'm a
Welcome back. Bottom of the second hour. Oh, wait. A sixth accuser of Andrew Cuomo? Oh, my goodness. This is an outrage. Surrender your book profits and resign from office immediately. If you didn't know before, you know, all of this, before he was elected to office, if you didn't know that he was from a pedigree of morally repugnant hypocrites, then maybe check for a pulse. But the point, I think, is what would happen, again, in conjunction with that other stuff before, in, you know, the first segment, second segment of second hour in particular of today's broadcast, what would happen if we just stopped reacting to all of this stuff. Or, you know, if we turned off the screens, then we wouldn't have to bother with Disney programming, Netflix programming, you know, Netflix. They, you know, speaking of John Sutherland films and propaganda, Dave McGowan, Laurel Canyon, Lookout Mountain, you know, Netflix might as well be Lookout Mountain these days, I think. It seems like CIA propaganda. It seems like Mockingbird Central, Mockingbird headquarters, you know, with the propaganda stuff that they've done, or not the propaganda, the pandemic stuff that they did conveniently, like, you know, right as they just happened to have that in a can right at the moment that, you know, we started hearing all this nonsense. Oh, my goodness. Can you believe it? Well, Bill Gates was saying this for years, and it was just a coincidence that we happened to have this in the can right at the appropriate, the perfect moment. What an amazing serendipitous, you know, turn of events. Amazing. And, you know, the situation with all of the political unrest, John Sullivan, James Sullivan, you know, that stuff, the Insurgents USA, you know, two sides of the same coin, brothers just happen to be, kind of thing. It's amazing. You know, Netflix is right there all the time these days with just the right propaganda. So what would happen if we turn the screens off? Anyway, what would happen if we stopped reacting to all of these things? Can you imagine if you 300 million people see what's going on, arms folded in sort of cynical, aloof, standoffish body posture. Like, we're unamused, basically. The vast majority of the American public is just unamused. We are the adults. We see the little shenanigans, the little puppet show you're running, the shadows you're casting on the wall. We're unamused. What you're doing is evil. It's patently un-American. Yeah, I'd not be doing that. What would happen if we all behave like adults? You know, like when you're a kid being squirrely and misbehaving, maybe you had too much sugar or something, and you just can't get a hold of yourself, and your parents stop, you know, one or both of your parents stop, and they get that look in their eye, arms crossed, and all of a sudden, you know, if you don't get a hold of yourself, the thunder's coming. I think many of us, maybe most of us, have had experiences like that. I remember moments like that in my childhood where I was misbehaving, and I could just feel that I was sort of carried away with misbehaving. And then I could see, you know, my mom, for example, if she stopped and gave me that look, I knew if I didn't get a hold of myself pretty darn quick, something bad was coming. Can you imagine if we looked at all of this nonsense that way? We see what you're doing. It's inappropriate. It's evil. It's un-American. I think it would change. Instead of the reactionary chaos, the milieu that ensues, it's not good. Anyway, just a rhetorical musing. So, continuing, Oswald Chambers being an example of his message, and then to Tiger Woods. Chambers writes, "There is a difference between giving a testimony and preaching. A preacher is someone who has received the call of God and is determined to use all his energy to proclaim God's truth. And Maybe just a brief parenthetical aside on that. I mentioned a while ago Pastor Harold E. Salem, Christian Worship Hour, Aberdeen, South Dakota. January of last year, actually, I was talking about that. So, you know, you listen to that guy, and for him to say, you know, you come to Jesus and, you know, you keep coming back every morning because we all sin. Really? I have a hard time believing that Harold E. Salem, you know, he could probably count his sins on one hand. I'm being facetious, but man, if there was ever a straight-laced guy, he seems like that guy. So there's a difference between giving a testimony and preaching. A preacher is someone who has received the call of God and is determined to use all his energy to proclaim God's truth. Pastor Harold E. Salem strikes me as one of those guys. God takes us beyond our own aspirations and ideas for our lives and molds and shapes us for his purpose, just as he worked in the disciples' lives after Pentecost. The purpose of Pentecost was not to teach the disciples something, but to make them the incarnation of what they preached, so that they would literally become God's message in the flesh. And then he quotes Acts 1:8, "You shall be witnesses to me." And Chambers concludes, "Allow God to have complete liberty in your life when you speak. Before God's message can liberate other people, his liberation must first be real in you. Gather your material carefully and then allow God to, quote, set your words on fire for his glory." And I don't know. It's an interesting thing. Again, I think the point is, I mean, who couldn't use less anxiety? Who couldn't use less worry, less wringing of the hands these days? I think we can all say, you know what, I would like less of that. And so, as I mentioned recently, Philippians chapter 4, you know, be anxious, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. And like I said, I think there's a freedom when you say, for those, you know, who feel so inclined to say, Dad, you promised. Because then you're off the hook for trying to do things in your own strength or whatever, and whatever the results are, you know, however that works out. It's basically, like John said, you know, taking him at his word, having faith and trusting that, you know, for example, he's faithful to complete the good work he has begun in each of us. So if you do these things, you know, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. What happens? Next verse, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That's pretty awesome. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, there's any excellence and of anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. It's not to say we don't have a responsibility and an obligation. We do, obviously. But to, you know, enlist the help, to invite the help of the one who created all of this and us, and to, you know, invite him in and, you know, entreat his involvement, intimate involvement in the daily affairs of our lives in the world, is to invoke a power that is, you know, beyond this world. And what can we do more than that? You know, he's the one who knows history. Isaiah 46, 9 and 10, right? And when you do that, I mean, what more can we do? There's one who's trying to change times and laws and make it seem like he's the one who does what God does. But Isaiah 46, 9 and 10, remember the former things long past, for I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is not no one like me, declaring the end from the beginning. Some of us misremember that and say, you know, what is it? Oh, I forget now. It's not just that he knows the end from the beginning. He's the one declaring it. And from ancient times, things which have not been done, saying, my purpose will be established and I will accomplish all my good pleasure. So, you know, the one who wrote the owner's manual, probably best to consult on these kinds of things. So when it comes to the daily stuff, you know, one of the best things we can do, I think, is enlist his help, invite him, entreat his involvement. And, you know, again, it's Women's History Month. I mentioned it yesterday. I'll do it again. Why not? Abigail Adams. Here's women's history. Abigail Adams, I mentioned these two excerpts yesterday. I'll do it again today. First, November 5, 1775, to her friend Mercy Warren. Tell me if these don't apply today. Same kind of thing. A patriot without religion, in my estimation, and this gets back to the whole concept of mercy, of virtue, morality, and religion, and patriotism, for that matter. What does it mean to be American? A patriot without religion, in my estimation, is as great a paradox as an honest man without the fear of God. Is it possible that he whom no moral obligations bind can have any real goodwill towards men? Can he be a patriot who, by an openly vicious conduct, is undermining the very bonds of society? The scriptures tell us, righteousness exalteth a nation. And yet we've been plunged into this moral depravity, haven't we? And a lot of it, I would say, you know, maybe the vast majority of it comes through these screens. Whether it's a handheld screen or a larger screen or whatever. And then Abigail Adams wrote to her husband John on June 20th, 1776, I feel no anxiety at the large armament designed against us, which gets to my point here today. Why is she not concerned? I feel no anxiety at the large armament designed against us. The remarkable interpositions of heaven in our favor cannot be too gratefully acknowledged. He who fed the Israelites in the wilderness, who clothes the lilies of the field, and who feeds the young ravens when they cry, will not forsake a people engaged in so right a cause if we remember his loving kindness. Dad, you promised. She doesn't seem worried. She even says so. I feel no anxiety. Zero. Can you imagine? The British Navy is a thing of historical legend. And, you know, what was going on? I mean, she says, I feel no anxiety at the large armament designed against us. That's pretty remarkable, I would say. And yet, you know, we are blown about in America these days. To and fro, hither and yon, by every little controversy. Maybe we should shut off the screens and stop reacting. Tiger Woods. So there was a crash. One of the most peculiar things in all of that is that the story just seemed to evaporate into the ethos, you know, like the morning dew. Just like everybody was talking about. I remember watching Fox News coverage, and the early coverage was really interesting. Well, you know, there are some windy curves there out in RPV, Rancho Palos Verdes. And they show, you know, they have helicopters en route, and the helicopters get there. There's no windy stretch there, none. So for the length of more than a football field, cars driving straight across lanes, apparently, and out, you know, into a, you know, onto the grassy knoll where it rolls, and he's found unconscious by somebody. And so that was a very peculiar story. You know, it's a windy road, but wait, it's not. Why did the car suddenly, and what happened to the black box? Everybody's, you know, the LA County Sheriff's Department subpoenaed the black box, I think, or whatever it is, search warrant for the black box. And so, you know, do you remember that Vice piece on remote controlling cars? Remember that? And we'll talk more about that. Remember a guy named Michael Hastings had a car accident? Stick around. We'll be right back.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Is your property a financial burden and causing you grief? Have you tried to sell but can't find buyers? Or are you just too busy to sell your property? Don't worry. We have the right solution for you. We buy properties as is, with cash, close in 30 days, and pay all closing costs. Our service is ideal for property owners who are in pre-foreclosure, have high-end repair costs, experiencing financial hardship, going through costly divorces, are relocating, need cash for retirement, suffering family loss, or have tax liens. Whatever your situation may be, we can help you sell your property and get the money you need. If you own a single-family home or multiple family units, call us for a free consultation at 888-910-1037. That's 888-910-1037. Or visit our website at cashingproperty.com. That's cashingproperty.com. Sell your property fast and leave all your worries behind.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Welcome back. I left my Genesis Invitational Hyundai SUV in San Francisco with my heart. Tiger Woods. It's Players Week, like I mentioned, which is not a major, but it's kind of a mini-major. Before the crash, Tiger was feeling hopeful and optimistic about this year's Masters. He won the 2019 Masters, which is the one before COVID. And was doing well. He's getting, his career's getting long in the tooth, 22 years. Jack was 24, I think, between major wins. And so Tiger's getting there. Not many more competitive years. 45 years old, you know. If you listen to guys like Dick Gregory, the back surgery thing is a cover, basically, in simple terms. And he was told, you're not supposed to break Jack's records. I mean, that's the short version. So Tiger has five Masters wins. Jack holds the record with six. Tiger still trails Jack by three total majors, 15 to 18, respectively. Total major wins. And as I said yesterday, he's tied Jack in British Open wins, what they call the Open now, not the British Open anymore. And in addition to the Masters, trails Jack by one each in the U.S. Open, the PGA Championship, you know, and the Masters, of course, as I mentioned. So that's where the three are. And the Masters is special, and we're out of time, so I'll just leave it at that. I sort of alluded to that yesterday. The Masters is one, especially if you listen to Young Tiger. Go dig up the videos of Young Tiger talking about the Masters. You'll see what I mean. And so, you know, that's interesting. I mean, he was hopeful. I don't think that he's done. And, you know, with the spirit of his father in him and his mother, who knows? Sort of put all those things together. Where does that coalesce and what is the trajectory of that coalescing? I'm not saying it's a conspiracy. You know, the car crash. I'm just saying I wonder what Dick Gregory would have to say about Tiger's recent accident, car crash. It's also perhaps interesting to note that along with Tiger, neither Brooks Koepka or Matthew Wolff will be in the field of the Players, I believe. And, you know, who knows about the Masters? Anyway, the other things that I mentioned, for those interested, there, Vice has done a series of articles, you know, 7/7/16, which is an interesting date, July 7, 2016. Ex-NSA spy shows us how to hack a car. And that was around the same time as the WikiLeaks dump, right? And we got articles like the Free Thought Project's WikiLeaks CIA can hack cars to carry out undetectable assassinations, just like Michael Hastings. It's an interesting article. There are others like it. And, you know, but if you go to vice.com and search the topic car hacking, you'll see what I mean. So just food for thought for those curious. That'll do it for today's broadcast. I hope it was informative. As always, it truly is an honor and a pleasure. Take care. God bless. We'll catch you on the other side.
Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
This is RBN. The Republic Broadcasting Network.